So some of you know that I was away this past week. I wasn't here with you last Sunday. I was on vacation with my family down in Florida. My oldest daughter, Christine, lives down there, and her husband's away in Afghanistan now. And my other daughter, Sarah, from Charlotte, came down and joined us. So it's just the four of us. We had a great time doing things like going on water slides and going to the beach most days and taking in the Pensacola Blue Wahoos minor league baseball game, all that good stuff down in Florida. Just a beautiful time and place to be. Well, one of my favorite things to do is my daughter is a fourth grade teacher. And so on one morning, we went into her school, the Addie R. Lewis School, just outside of Eglin Air Force Base there, and had a chance to help her put together her room for the fall. They had cleaned the carpets now, and so we could help her put up bulletin boards and arrange the desks and things like that and figure out where she wanted to go in year two of her teaching there. So for Christmas a couple years ago that I gave her a book by the name of Teach Like Your Hair's on Fire by Rafe Esquith. Now, Rafe Esquith taught in the Los Angeles city schools for 31 years, from 1984 till 2015, and developed an amazing reputation as a passionate teacher. He was the kind of teacher that you would want to have for fifth grade. He made learning come alive, and he was so caring for his students, but always creative in the ways that he approached the subject material. He had created this amazing fifth grade acting troupe, if you will, that did Shakespeare plays every year, and they were big productions and well-known, and people always looked forward to them. And it was at a time in his teaching career that he was going through sort of a little time of self-doubt. Any of you teachers out there, any of you ever wonder if what you're doing is getting through to those students? And so it was one of those periods where he wasn't sure he was really connecting and wasn't sure how things were going, but he had one girl in the class, Susan, who was sort of lagging behind in just about everything, and he was working hard to make sure that she stayed connected to the rest of the class. And it was on this particular day, he committed himself. He said, I'm just going to go pay attention, see if I can help her along, and I'm just going to focus on the kids today and have fun. And so so they were doing a science lesson, and you remember when you got to use your first Bunsen burner? Remember what a cool thing that was when you got to light that thing in class and they're getting ready for their chemistry experiment? And normally in science, it was his practice to let his students figure things out for themselves. He didn't go out and rescue them if they were having trouble with something because he figured they could learn more by figuring it out on their own. And so, but on this day, Susan was struggling again. It was Susan who was struggling to get her Bunsen burner lit. And in this case, it was a mechanical issue. It wasn't her mistake. So he went back over to her table to help her, and, you know, he couldn't light it, and he got really close. He got the match right down there. The wick was too short, and he finally got it lit, and then he stood up, and he started to teach, and then suddenly there was a gasp among the students, and some of his kids came up and started hitting him in the head because his hair was on fire. Literally, his hair was on fire. And it was one of those aha moments for him as a teacher, because he had so lost himself in helping this one student stay connected, and he had so lost himself in the teaching of what was important, you know, passionate about what he was teaching, that he didn't even realize that his hair was on fire. And so he made a commitment from that day on that he would teach every day like his hair was on fire. And so he wrote that book about just to share the wisdom. You know, he always shared that wisdom to say, this is what worked for me. This is not everything you know, need to know about teaching. And so I gave that book to my daughter a couple Christmases ago, and she's tried to put some of those things in practice, to take the time to be present to each of the students and to passionately offer them what they need and to help them find a way to learn on their own. All of us have been probably blessed with a teacher like that somewhere along the way, whether it was in elementary school, whether it was high school, maybe it was in college. There was somebody who just lit your fire and ignited your passion for learning and helped you dig into stuff that you never knew that you would come to love before. I'm grateful to have had many teachers like that in my life. Now, in our tradition, we obviously have Jesus at the center of the Christian church. And an amazing teacher he was, because if it were not for the fact that he was such a compelling teacher, you and I would not be sitting here today. If his message had just been sort of bland, or if he didn't know how to communicate it well, he wouldn't have gathered followers and disciples and people that wanted to continue this way forward long after his death. And so I want to focus a little bit about on Jesus today as our model for how we teach creatively. Now, if you look at Jesus' own teaching methods, you'll see that he embodies some of what we would consider good 21st century teaching practices, right? Asking questions. How many times did Jesus turn the questions around to the people who were coming to him asking for an easy answer? And he said, no, what do you think? What do you think? And he was always full of analogies, using these word pictures that he'd paint in people's heads. And hyperbole, we'll see that in just a moment, hyperbole was one of his favorite methods of teaching. And I love this little quote about hyperbole. It's the greatest, most spectacular thing in the history of the entire world. So hyperbole is just overstating something, making it very dramatic, and so that you remember it. And then repetition, repeating phrases or repeating patterns in your teaching style. The text that we had read this morning comes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And there's that repetitious pattern in the beginning in chapter 5, right, when we know the Beatitudes. Blessed are blank, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. There's this rhythm to that language. And so repetition was one of his teaching methods. I want to just look at quickly at some of the ways that those methods come into play in the text that we have here. This is one of the large teaching blocks in Matthew's gospel. There are five discourses in Matthew, and this chunk that we know as the Sermon on the Mount is one of them. There's three chapters, chapter 5, 6, and 7. And so we're coming to the end of that. So in chapter 7, Jesus talks about judging your neighbor, you know, acting in judgment of over somebody around you. And we all fall into the trap if we're honest. You know, we make judgments about each other all the time. And Jesus could have just said, it's not a good thing to judge your neighbor, period, right? And it would have just gone right off our backs. We wouldn't have even noticed it. But Jesus made it memorable, didn't he? What did he say? He said, first take the log out of your own eye if you want to try to deal with the speck in your neighbor's eye. He says it was a memorable, over-the-top way of teaching, which is to say that we all have our own stuff to deal with. Before we sit in judgment of other people, we need to first deal honestly with the things in our own lives. But it's this use of hyperbole that allows him to make his point and to make it in a memorable way. Or Jesus was famous for taking these aphorisms, these sayings, and repeating them in different settings. And in slightly different ways, but always coming back to them. We've heard this one before, haven't we? Right? This is right here in this big teaching block. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. So sprinkled in Jesus' teaching, that's not all his teaching is about, but you'll find these little pithy, memorable sayings, right? This is what we know as the golden rule, and we think of it as at the heart of what it means to follow Jesus. Then there's this, at the very end, there's this great analogy that Jesus uses. Because he's sort of wrapping up this long teaching section. And he says, you know, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like what? Will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And we know the other side of that, right? Because we have the Sunday school songs going through our heads right now. About the man who built his house on the rock and the man who built his house on what? The sand, right? We know that. We know that other side of the story. And it's a very visual way of telling the story. And so when we take into our lives and become followers of Jesus, act on these words of Jesus, it's like we're standing on solid ground. And when we don't, we can feel ourselves sort of sinking away. So Jesus was the master at using these analogies and these word pictures. We probably most often think about Jesus teaching this way, right? In parables. What parables come to mind? When you think of Jesus as a teacher of stories and parables, what are the stories that immediately come to mind? The seeds. That's right. The sower. The sower goes out and sows seeds, and some falls on rocky soil, and some falls on thorny soil, and some falls on the hard ground that's been trampled underfoot, and some falls on the good soil. It springs up. What else? What? Prodigal son. Also known as the prodigal father, right? Because that's a reckless son, but it's a reckless father with love, too. What else? Oh, come on, friends. You've got to give me the Good Samaritan, right? The Good Samaritan, you know that story? or they're just the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. All of these memorable stories that were entrees into the kingdom of God. Jesus knew that if he just stood around and gave lectures on the kingdom of God, he would lose his audience. Because he's preaching and teaching to a group with probably not a whole lot of education, probably not a very literate group as a whole, preaching to all these people. And so he tells stories, and stories always connect people, but these are stories with a twist, usually. The upside-down nature of the kingdom. The last being first, and the first being last. And so these stories always have a twist, like the Samaritan as the hero in that story. You would never expect the Samaritan to be the hero. Or the son being welcomed back with a feast and a party, and the prodigal son, he doesn't deserve that. But grace acts like that. So Jesus was this master storyteller, and he told amazing stories that still live on today, not just in our minds, but in our hearts. We know about grace, and we know about forgiveness, and we know about the kingdom of God because of these stories. Jesus also enacted and lived these stories. I think of Jesus going into the temple and turning over the tables and saying, "You've turned my father's house into a den of thieves. You've turned this temple, which is supposed to be holy, into something that is just a place of commercial business." And that's not what it's about. And so he enacts his teaching. He doesn't just say those things, he enacts those teaching. Or when he's with his disciples for that last evening and he gets down on his hands and his knees, he takes off his garment and he washes their feet. They're going to remember his words about servanthood because of what he did, how he enacted that. He said, "If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." So he embodies his teaching at times. And certainly this unconditional love that he embodies even to death on cross is the ultimate example of his teaching of that forgiveness and love that follows him to the very end of his life. Jesus is one of those kind of teachers that was always pointing beyond himself, though. If you notice in Jesus' teaching, he doesn't draw attention to himself. And the best teachers don't draw attention to themselves. They are pointing to something bigger than themselves. And Jesus was always pointing to this kingdom. Jesus was always pointing to the God who had sent him. Jesus was always pointing beyond himself. The best teachers are those who show you where to look, but they don't tell you what to see. And Jesus was always inviting us and his hearers into their own exploration, their own understanding, their own entry into the kingdom. And so Jesus doesn't just simply give us simple answers, but invites us to explore this relationship with God for ourselves, this relationship with our neighbor for ourselves, to be on this journey with him of learning, lifelong learning. Now, when you came to church, you probably were greeted by something like this. And I'm watching, and it's taking shape before my eyes. Even they're starting the decorating in force. But this is what you walked into, and this was the Maker's Fun Factory Vacation Bible School theme this week that will take over our church. For the next 2 weeks, we'll have about 300 kids here over the 2 weeks, most of them not from our congregation, about two-thirds of them from the community, about a third of them from our own church. And for some of those kids, even our own kids, it may be the only chance this summer, and for some, the only chance this year, where they get to experience grace and to hear about God's love. And so we're going to teach creatively, and they're going to learn all kinds of things. You see robots that are being put together, and they're going to sing songs that will reinforce these biblical themes, and they're going to learn to make new friends and be in community with each other. And it will take adults doing crazy things, dressing up in all kinds of costumes and like a hazmat material, or like Michelle getting down. I see she's blushing over there in the pew, but getting down to their level and whispering the gospel in their ear, whispering the good news that they are loved by God, that they are special, that God has created them with amazing potential. It might take Lee doing something like this. I think Carissa got to wear a suit like that last year as well. And most of all, what we want these kids to know is that they are just part of God's family. And so these adults and these teenagers will put themselves out there and embody this love and creatively teach this love of Christ this week. And it doesn't just happen during Bible school. Bible school is an intense time of that. But we do this all year long with our children here. We do it in our preschool. We do it in our Sunday school. We do it in many, many ways with our kids here. We're teaching them to love God and to follow Jesus. The youth get a chance to do it too. You're going to learn more about this in a couple weeks on ASP Sunday later in August. But the youth just got back from Appalachia Service Project in West Virginia this year. And it's a week away of serving. It is that. But I would say it's a week of experiential learning too. They are learning what it's like to be a follower of Jesus. They are learning what it is like to be in Christian community. They are learning what it is like to love neighbors who are different than they are. They are learning what it's like to get down on their hands and knees like Jesus did for his disciples and serve others. There's a lot of mentoring that goes on these trips. One of the things I love to watch is the way that adults get to teach our youth practical skills, and the youth get to discover in themselves these gifts. Oh my gosh, I can drill something, or I can cut a piece of wood and it's kind of straight, or I can put a window in a house, or I can put a roof on a new roof on the house. And Lee is the glue that holds that ministry together at this church, has been doing that for 42 years. And whether it happens on a Sunday night or away on a retreat or at a lock-in or at ASP or just in relationships, hanging out with Lee at her house, watching reality TV, Lee has taught these youth that Christianity is not a what, it's a relationship. And it's an embodied relationship with God and with each other, sharing in the Spirit of Christ. That's creative teaching. That's teaching creatively and joyfully for the sake of the gospel. I looked up one of my favorite quotes. For many, many years, I've tried to be a creative teacher and a creative preacher, whether it's with adults or with kids or with youth, because I think that you have to have people's attention if they're going to hear what's really important. And I've long said that it's a sin to bore people with the gospel. And this is, I looked it up, and Jim Rayburn, who is the founder of Young Life, is credited with being the originator of this quote. He says, "Christ is the strongest, grandest, most attractive personality ever to grace the earth. But a careless messenger with a wrong method can reduce all of this magnificence to the level of boredom." Now, friends, I don't know about you, but my guess is that you've probably, along the way, heard a boring sermon. I've probably even delivered a boring sermon or two. You've probably even heard me give a boring sermon. You're not supposed to laugh at that one too easily. But it's a crime to bore people with the gospel, because this is the most compelling, the best news that we have. And we ought to bring our best selves to be able to communicate that, whether it's to our vacation Bible school kids, or whether it's to our youth, or whether it's to our adults in Bible study classes, or whether it's to all of us as we gather in worship week by week. And so one of our core values we have claimed as a church is that we will teach creatively. We will teach creatively. Because there are so many people waiting to be formed into faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. And all of us still have a lot farther to go on that road, which means we have to open ourselves up to it, which means that we might have to claim the call that God is calling us to teach someone else and invite somebody else into this journey with us. So friends, here's my hope for all of us and for all of you, especially those of you who are the teachers in our midst, that you would teach and live like your hair is on fire, so immersed in the kingdom, so immersed in the way of Jesus, you don't even notice the heat. Amen.